So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we'll see how far I get. Meaning it's only two verses, but I might spend the majority time speaking on one because I don't know why, because I just do. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As always, I ask for a blessing of the Word of God today.
Thanks be to God.
Praise be to God. The believer is to be devoted to God. Everything he is, everything he has, is to be dedicated to the worship and the service of God. Anything less than total devotion is short of God's glory, and it's a sin. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I always seem like I got to point that out. Therefore, when discussing the believer's relationship to God, Scripture is very strong in this. Scripture urges total devotion to God. Give your devotion, your energy, and your thoughts to God. Verse 1. Present your bodies to God. Verse 1. Do not be conformed to this world. Verse 2. Be cleansed and transformed. Verse 2. We're going to talk about dedication. The believer is to give his devotion, his energy, and his thoughts to God. The word therefore, I had a pastor that said every time I say therefore, I want you to say what's it there for. But the word therefore, it connects what is about to be said to what has been said. So let's talk about what has been said so far in Romans. Romans 1, verse 18 through chapter 3 and verse 20. Talks about the world desperately needs to get right with God. The way of the world is to get right with God is now clearly revealed through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The way is through justification. Believing that the Lord Jesus Christ and having God count our faithfulness as righteousness. Romans chapter 3 through chapter 5. The believer in Christ can now be sanctified. That is set apart. That is set free from sin. Set free from sin for a life eternal with the Lord Jesus Christ. With the renewing of our mind with the Holy Spirit. That's Romans chapter 6 to chapter 8. The believer, the church, we're not necessarily a building, people that believe in God, are to the care of the gospel to his Son who died on that cross everywhere we go by our actions as well. This is the glorious message of how much God loves us and what he has done for us. This is what is meant by the mercies of God. The mercies of God are overflowing. They are beyond anything any person could ever desire. I always chuckle. I always have a little joke in my head, probably at all times. But we always think we got really bad problems. And we don't even understand how blessed we are to live in this country. Most of our problems are something we've created in our own head. Not saying they're not true, it's just what it is. We always think about what we need from God, and we never understand or look back in our lives and say, what has God provided up until this day? Up until this very day. Not going to point out the oldest person in the room again. We'll just look back and just think, God has provided all the way up until today, every single one of us. He's met our desperate need. Our first desperate need is to get right with God. And that was by sacrificing his Son on that cross to put us right back in communion with him. God has provided the power to set us free from the bondage of sin. He provided that way. God has provided and he's given us a glorious purpose in life. And in case you don't remember, our glorious purpose in life is to worship and praise God and to spread the good news of his Son, what his Son did on that cross for us. That's our purpose, to bring one more person closer to Christ. So when we get up in heaven, we're like, oh man, I'm glad to see you here. That's what's up. Therefore, in the light of the mercies of God and all that he has done for us, we must devote ourselves to God. We must dedicate and commit ourselves to him. Now I want you to focus on the words here in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's talking to people that are saved already. He's not out on the street corner preaching to unsaved sinners. He's preaching to brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. People that should already know this already is who he's talking to. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, devote to God. Devotion. Devote yourself to God. Strongly urged. Our body. Dedicate our body to God. The believer is to present his body to God. The importance of the human body cannot be overstated. The one thing on earth that is abused more than anything else on this planet is our own body. And we do it to ourselves. Every single one of us. It's abused more than anything else on this planet. We neglect our body. We ignore our body. We do it by overeating. We do it by becoming inactive. We do it by becoming too active. We do it by cursing. We do it by fighting. We do it by killing. Abusing drugs and alcohol. This last sentence completely applies to me. By getting too little rest. Friday I came home after the revival. I slept 11 hours. Wasn't planned, got in bed. 11 hours later, I'm up. Because I was running so far, trying to do so many things in that week. My body just shut down. Getting too little rest. Some of us get too much rest. We need to present our body as a living sacrifice. God demands the believer's body. God is not only interested in man's spirit, he is vitally interested in man's body. The believer is to present his body in dedication. The dedication is not to be made for others. The dedication is not to be made for others by living only for our family, only for our wife, only for our husband, only for our kids or grandkids. But we see it every day, we just don't realize it. We live for our houses, our lands, our money, our cars, our possessions. Sometimes we just don't notice it. We all know that one couple who gets a divorce after their kids moved out. Their kids graduate, they move out, and they get divorced. Because they weren't living with God. They weren't focusing on each other and God, as God being over top of us. They were focusing on their children. Now the kids aren't there anymore. They don't know what to do. Because they were living for their children, not for God. The believer is to present his body to God as a living sacrifice. This is a picture of an Old Testament believer taking animals and offering them to God as sacrifices. God bless you. The believer is to do the same kind of sacrificial offering to God, but note the difference. The believer's offering is not to be sacrificed to animal flesh and blood. The offering and the sacrifice of the believer is to his body. I've said it once, I'll say it again. The believer is to offer his body as a living sacrifice, which means constant, continuous sacrifice. A person dedicates his body and keeps on living for God. A living sacrifice means we give our bodies up to sacrifice our own desires and our own lives for God. The body lives in a holy, righteous, pure, and clean, and moral life for God at all times. Is it easy? No, it's not. And the closer you get with Christ, the more you study the Bible, the harder it gets. And it's not fun. A sacrifice is not supposed to be fun. For we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. The dedication of our body is to be acceptable to God, which means well-pleasing, approving, extremely satisfying. God accepts, joys, and rejoices over our body that is dedicated to Him, for Him. The word here, acceptable, well-pleasing. We should seek Him. We should seek to please God by our actions. The dedication of the body to God is the believer's reasonable service. The word reasonable in the Greek is, and I'm going to mess it up because I don't speak Greek or Hebrew. Logiken, we can see what words we got from that just by logiken, means rational, intelligent, logical. In the act of mind thinking and figured what to do and how to do something. The word service can be translated as worship, a worship ministry, service. The idea is that we use our mind to dedicate the body. The body can't function without the mind. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Always starts with your thoughts. Always. Starts with what we're looking at. How we're interacting with people. The things we hear. I love music. Sometimes, I've said before, I turn music on, I'm like, I know that song. And I start listening to the lyrics, I'm like, oh, can't believe I used to sing this. Yeah. But it always starts with our mind. This is how we dedicate our worship time to God's word and prayer every day. Dig in the Bible. We had a 7-day revival last week, 6-day revival last week. 2 different pastors every night, 2 different denominations every night speaking the same time. Never had 2 Baptists up there. We always had a Methodist or a Baptist, or we had this one or that one. Boom. Nobody mentioned the word denomination. Preach Christ crucified. Repent. Turn away from your sins. We come together to study God's word. Study His word so we can make our body a living sacrifice. And it all starts with what we put in our mind. We can't ask our body to do something if our mind's not right. You know, I joke about football a lot. 15 years ago or more, if the Bills Chiefs were playing as good as they were and they were playing 11 o'clock, you wouldn't see me in church. Horrible, I know. I'd have been right up in a bar somewhere waiting for the game to come on. That was the priority I had in my life at that time. That's what it is. We didn't get our mind right through the reading of His word, for studying His scripture. And it always almost embarrasses me when I see a passage like this and I see that He's talking to Christians. He's yelling at Christians, telling them to get their mind right so they can get their body right. So they can show sacrifice that Jesus made for us on that cross. But we like to complain about something tiny in our lives, insignificant. We know it's written in Scripture that our lives is nothing but a whisper. Our time on earth is nothing but a whisper. And we're going to complain about something real tiny and insignificant instead of renewing our minds and showing God our sacrifice, which is nothing compared to what He did for us. We can't even explain how He was bruised for our transgressions. He was bleeding for our iniquities, and I'm paraphrasing all this. He did all that for us. So we could have nachos. So we can complain that our sauce is not hot enough. Or we can say, hey, this cake ain't this way, I like it. Or hey, this silverware is dirty. These are like first world problems to me. A good friend of mine, I pick on her a lot because she was in the Army, so I'm allowed to pick on her because we're coworkers. She's a social worker. She went to a gas station in this really country part of Kansas, and she's like, could you reheat my Starbucks? And I just laughed at her. That's your priorities. Not, hey man, can I get a cup of coffee? You sell coffee here, let's get a whole nother cup of coffee. No, she literally walked in and said, the coffee I bought at this expensive place is cold. Could you heat it up for me? That's the most, I can't even think of the proper term for it. Ignorant thing I've ever heard in my life. Hey, could you heat up my coffee I bought from somebody else? I'm gonna go into McDonald's and complain that my Burger King burger isn't cooked properly. Now she's not here to defend herself, but it's okay. She knows I'll talk about her, so I'm not doing anything behind her back. But sometimes our problems are just that simple. Do you know in every country except for this one, gas is sold by the liter? The cheapest I've ever seen it is $4 a liter. And I've been to 15 countries. No, I apologize, I'm wrong. In the Arabic places, it's much cheaper than that. It's like 80 cents, whatever their money is a liter. But outside the desert area, yeah, $4 or $5 a liter. It's always way up expensive. But yet we complain about what we have here in America. Nobody comes in here and just with machine guns tells us that we can't do what we're doing right now, reading the Bible. But we want to focus on our minor problems. We should be focused on the bigger problems. We all have people around us that are not saved. That's the biggest problem that we have right now. What can we do to bring one person closer? I'm not throwing it all on you. I've got unsaved family members, I know I do. I can tell by their lack of fruit or how they respond. Another friend of mine says, how come you never try to recruit me for your church? You never try to recruit me. That's how she puts it. She tells me she's not a Christian. And I tell her the same thing I tell everybody. I don't try to recruit anybody. I talk to you right where you're at. If you're on skill level one, we'll start right there. If you read the Bible a few times, we'll talk up here. But never bring your way up here and try to push it down on somebody. Speak to them where they're at and slowly bring them up. This nurse said this to me. She said, I need you to do me a favor. Will you stop praying for me? Almost caught me off guard. I'm glad I was not facing her when she said that, because she would have saw my reaction to my face. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, when you prayed for this person who just lost their family member, I caught myself crying. And then she said, last night, I prayed for the first time in my entire life. She's like, so will you stop praying for me? So she thinks I'm doing something in her life. I'm not. But she's listening. This nurse is listening. She's around me when I'm preaching. She's around me when I'm praying for somebody. And that's what it means by being the salt and the light. I'm over here focusing on this family. There's other people in the room. I teach a Bible study at a memory care place, and most of these patients have dementia, so they're all over the place. It's a great time. Highly recommend it. However, the staff are listening. The staff is always walking around listening, because the Word of God won't come back void. It's going to go to the ears that need to hear it for His purpose and for His kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I thank you for putting my life into perspective. I'm quick to say, woe is me, and this is happening, and I realize this is nothing. This is just a little feather floating in the wind that won't even think about it anymore. A little bump in the road. Father, never let me forget what your Son did on that cross for me every single day. Father, let my mind get right so I can push my body in the right direction. Give me the strength and the courage, Father, so we can discipline our bodies better, so we can stay focused at our task at hand, and that's worshiping and praising God and bringing one more person closer to Christ. And I say this in your Son's name. Amen.